Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It's Friday, everybody.
Friday.
Or it could be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, depending on when you're listening
to
this.
It should be.
But this is Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, and we're here for another episode. This is a fun one. We're going way back in time.
Like way back in time
to the days of Gilbert and/or Sullivan. Pretty sure it was both of them. Anyway, my name is Miranda Selwood. I'll be taking you through the episode today with my co-hosts.
Zane C. Weber.
Julie Eisentrager.
And we always call them our super special guest.
They are super special.
Here's another special one. This one is actually very special to me because we're related, but don't tell anybody.
Hi, I'm Lorene Cooper-Fox, and I'm here to talk to you about Gilbert and Sullivan.
Specifically.
Specifically, which show?
Specifically, The Pirates of Penzance.
Woo! Yay.
One of my favorite shows. I'm just going to put that out there. It's my favorite Gilbert and Sullivan, one of my favorite shows.
It's one of the first things I saw at QPAC.
I'm kind of a fan of Iolanthe.
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably my favorite GNS, but I'm not a huge fan of GNS. So this will be a Convince Miranda episode. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, everyone. We're going to put that out there right now. That's okay, though. Before we get to Convince Miranda, we're going to get to Know You. See how I did it that time?
It gets shorter and shorter every time. And it's getting less.
It was getting progressively longer. No, you haven't listened to the episodes where
I did the whole song?
No.
Where we were speaking about your Getting to Know You song.
You'll
find out.
They've been released
this week.
You won't.
Interesting. Anyway, let's stop talking about me singing the song and start talking about Lorene.
Let's learn about Lorene.
We're going to do the quiz. Are you ready for the quiz?
Yes, I'm so ready for the quiz.
You've looked at the quiz already?
I have looked at the quiz.
Okay, well, plot twist. We've changed all the questions.
Here we go.
In the year 1912, no, I'm kidding. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
Well, Miranda, you actually have known me for the longest, so who would you compare me with?
You don't get out of it.
And
like
don't
that.
Look at my paper.
No, you have to do it.
I have to do it.
You have to
answer
I'll
tell
the question.
You, I'll tell you, and then you have to tell me. It's a swapsy situation.
Zane has an answer.
Oh, really? I think I've got an answer too.
What's Zane's answer?
You want to hear Zane, you go.
So it's suddenly I'm going first?
Suddenly you're going first.
Miss Honey.
Oh,
from Matilda.
Oh, that's so cute.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, that was you too?
No. I just said I liked that answer. Oh. That's a good answer. It's an adorable answer. My answer is, again, a Julie classic. Can't remember the character's name.
One from that musical.
The lead. Yes, yeah. The lead female from Singing in the Rain. I just can't remember her name.
Kathy Seldon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice one. I like that. Have you got one, Miranda?
I will say
Mabel from Pirates of Penzance.
You are one of the few guests that have been solely complimented by the roles that we've played. Like,
hang
sometimes
on,
we're worried about,
ones.
Like, oh.
What can we say?
Oh, I also just thought of another one. But anyway, yeah, continue.
Well, I think that you would compare me to Patty Simcock from Grease.
Because I'm like, oh,
I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Happy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I concur.
Yeah.
Which musical character would you like people to compare you to?
Matilda. Because she's super smart. She's really grounded. She's I know. I just think she's really cool.
And she's got magical powers.
I'm like, and she's got power.
If you had the magic, would be great.
It's the bit I want. Who cares if you're smart?
But
if
it's
you're
not just magic. I mean, she's really like
super smart.
She just cottoned on, you know.
Maybe that's she's so smart. That's why she's magic. She's accessing like other parts of her brain.
Well, what's that saying about, you know, to the uneducated, science is indistinguishable from magic?
I'm not smart.
I believe it's
that.
Significantly advanced science is indistinguishable from magic. Not
sort
like
of what I said.
If you're dumb, science is magic, right?
Yeah, anyway, so Lorraine, after that controversial statement, what is your dream role?
I think I would really like to do Elphaba in Wicked because, you know, again, she's got magical powers. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's a theme. She's a theme here.
She's got some real epic songs.
Yeah, you can belt your tits
really,
off.
Yeah, great. I think that would be really fun.
And you get to fly, sort of.
And be painted green.
And be painted green.
That's the dream.
I'd like to be painted green.
I just want to be green. Well, you know, Shrek has been released, so you could do... That's green.
Yeah, back
not monsters.
Off.
Come on. Ogres, ogres.
Shrek is
no,
mine.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, she wouldn't play Shrek. Fiona gets to be green too, right?
Half the time.
Yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that. Anyway.
Oh, wow. what's your favourite Sondheim show?
Into the Woods. Hands down.
Into the Woods to Grandmother's House.
It's pretty typical, isn't it? Everyone loves that show.
Well, oh, we get a good spread.
Yeah. You get some haters. I'm not a hater.
Of Into the Woods?
No, I like Into the Woods.
I like it too.
I don't like having to pee while
I like it most.
Watching it.
So yeah. I believe it was my pick.
Wow.
It was also yours.
You don't own it.
No, I don't. Stephen Sondheim does.
And Lorraine. Stephen and Lorraine own it 50-50.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
What's your go-to shower song?
Being Alive. I don't know what it is about that song, but when I'm in the shower, I like just belting that song out.
I love to just be alive in the shower.
Being alive. I don't know.
That's good. I like that.
You got
a good way to start your day.
Yeah.
Just some built-in about...
Well, it's a bit sad, you know, starting off and then it's like...
No, but it's about grabbing life by the horns, sort of, in a weird way.
True.
Anyway, you have to delete one musical from existence.
This is so easy.
You can't say Cats.
Love Never Dies. It should be dead before it even started. Love Never Dies.
All right. Well, no, look, sequels are a rough call.
It
in
just
musicals?
Should not have happened. They should have just left it there. I really love The Phantom of the Opera, and then they just should have left it.
Sorry, Julie's just got something stuck in her throat. I'm sure that was not an expression of distaste in any way, shape or form.
Julie deleted Phantom.
I remember.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, if you don't have Phantom anymore...
You can't have it.
You can't have a sequel. So it's kind of already gone.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Look, Andrew Lloyd Webber would have done it still. Anything for a quick buck.
He just would have done it. Yeah, it would have happened. Like, he's unstoppable.
Yeah, he's got no qualms.
All right, well, last question. This is a new question for the quiz. It's not on the sheet, even though I'm still looking at the sheet while I'm doing it. Which of us is your favourite host? I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that question. It's obviously me. Let's move on to our next segment. Okay, so we don't have any Broadway news this week, but...
Miranda did something super fun.
I did. I just got off a plane from Melbourne. I went to Melbourne Town. Does everybody know where Melbourne Town is? It's in the state of Victoria. Apparently, in Melbourne, the weather is so dreadful that everybody stays inside all the time and makes theatre.
Why can't Brisbane be like that?
Because it's warm here and we do sports.
But it's like too warm. Like it's the weather's bad in the opposite direction.
It's true.
In the air-conditioned theatre.
Well, maybe anyway. It's that we're a little bit... stupider. I mean, like, let's go out in that heat.
Yeah. there could be any number of reasons. Anyway, so I was in Melbourne specifically, actually, to see, to go to the Pop-Up Globe. So this is it came from New Zealand. It's a Kiwi company who have built a scaffolding version of the Globe from London in which to perform Shakespeare.
It's a great idea.
It was a very good idea. Yeah. And I think that everybody should get them everywhere. We should just have globes all over the globe.
I mean, if everyone did it, it probably wouldn't
be
as successful because...
Maybe. But the pop-up globe that is in Melbourne at the moment is the pop-up globe theatre company from New Zealand. So yeah, they've brought over the entire productions, the cast and everything. And I am absolutely blown away.
So what shows did you see?
I saw the two comedies. So they brought over two comedies and two tragedies. The company itself is made up of two casts, the King's Company, which is a traditional Shakespearean cast, all men. So they play all the female roles.
I saw
as in traditional Shakespeare.
A video feature on one of the guys who plays a woman. It's a very... well done. Like, the costuming is great.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a man dressed in a dress.
Yes.
But it doesn't look like drag.
No, it does not look like drag.
In the theatrical sense, it doesn't look like
in
drag.
In the modern sense.
In the modern theatrical sense. Yeah, that's right. It's not like the cast of Kinky Boots.
Yes.
Anyway, and the Queen's Company is a mix. So they have females that they cast in the female roles and in a couple of the male roles actually, but and each company does a comedy and a tragedy. And as it happens, when we went down this particular weekend, we ended up seeing the two comedies, which I'm okay with. I mean, Shakespeare's great, but I prefer the comedies. They're more fun, obviously.
Musicals.
Yeah. Well, and actually both of them had a really strong musical element and a lot of dance as well.
Oh, okay.
So I would look at that and go, this is almost a musical. It was great. They were fantastic. I cannot express how wonderful these productions were.
I don't think you said
what the shows were. I still don't know what
shows they were. Oh, sorry. Much Ado About Nothing.
Nice.
That was Queen's Company, and it had this beautiful blend of Maori culture and the traditional Shakespeare. So they were dressed in this sort of Elizabethan, slightly Maori traditional dress.
That's really interesting.
They incorporated Maori hula and haka, and just amazing, beautifully and seamlessly put together. And God damn hilarious, like just so freaking funny. And the second show we saw was As You Like It, which was the all-male King's Company, which was bright and colourful and like just absolutely the best way Shakespeare has ever been done, ever, period, in my opinion. So if you have, if perhaps you live in Melbourne, go to the pop-up globe if you haven't already.
And if you don't live in Melbourne,
if you
go to the
pop-up globe in Melbourne, you can get groundlings tickets. So you're actually standing up in the peasant area of the globe. Those tickets are $20.
Everyone has to go if it's only $20.
There's no reason why anyone living in Melbourne wouldn't be going to a show every weekend until they finish in January. So... everyone go. That's my story.
That's great. Like, and it's good to see that it is something new and interesting happening in Australia.
And also old and interesting.
Well,
it's a nice blend of the two.
That's what Shakespeare is. Shakespeare is always new and interesting, or otherwise it's old and not interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting, yes. Amazing, wonderful experience, and so uplifting. The tragedies probably aren't as uplifting, but yeah, I recommend everyone goes. It's something that you need to do with your life.
Excellent.
Let's go back to talking about pirates. So we're going to talk about Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance.
The oldest musical ever.
Is it?
No.
Is it? It wasn't even the first GNS, was it? I don't know.
No,
Lorraine can tell us.
It was not the first GNS.
Tell us all about it.
Well, I just want to start by talking a bit about Gilbert and Sullivan just to
be a bit brief. I've got five really interesting facts or a bit interesting.
Or just five facts.
Just five facts. Yep. Just five facts. They collaborated for 14 comic operas. Number two, their shows are still being performed today, both in operatic and music theatre form. And I think a lot of shows in that time, you know, we don't see anymore. These guys, their shows just keep going, really. The musicals...
That was sort of the one thing we kept from that era,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It was the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, keep the good stuff. Their musicals address social and political issues without sacrificing entertainment. So a lot of people didn't do that in those days. It was sort of a bit, you know, they didn't talk about social issues. These yeah. days you see a bit more of that, but back in those days they didn't really do a lot of that. It was all... fun, frivolity.
It was vaudeville kind of or it was opera.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
I mean, yeah. The last two shows we've spoken about were Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson and American Idiot. Very yeah. political
Very
shows.
Political stuff, yeah.
And so we've gone the exact...
Well, it's not the opposite.
It's not the exact opposite.
Judas were talking politics in their own way.
Penzance, though, well, I don't think.
Oh, maybe. Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, good. Well, we'll get into it.
Pirates, you know, they made fun of the, you know, rich people and the
yes,
aristocracy.
Yeah.
They, you know, poked fun at them, so.
But then they buy back into it at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So.
They're poking fun at it, you know,
yeah.
throughout the show. GNS established a lot of structural elements that modern musicals use today. So they, you know, it's the same sort of stuff that they used back then. They sort of started it and it's the same kind of stuff that you see today. Well,
they've kind of, I see them often, they're credited with kind of inventing the form or at least the proto-form that musical theatre would
yeah.
eventually become.
Mm. So they're really important yep. to music
yes,
theatre
yeah.
history. Yeah. They introduced the integration of musicals so that lyrics and dialogue advance the coherent story. So again, previous to that, there wasn't a lot of that. It was like the music was just kind of thrown in there, whereas they kind of melded it all together and made it actually a story, which is one thing that makes them really important in music theatre history.
Yeah.
So
good on
yeah.
them. Now, well done, the most Gilbert. Important
well
question.
Well done, Sullivan.
Which is your favourite, Gilbert or Sullivan?
Oh my gosh. I think I have a favorite. They're both.
Doily Carr?
He had all the money.
He had all the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Pirates, it premiered in New York on the 31st of December, 1879.
Ah, yes. I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Then followed by London on the 3rd of April in 1880. And this was a bit unusual because Gilbert and Sullivan were English and they premiered this show on Broadway. And back in those days, America was going a bit crazy with using shows from overseas. They'd see them in London and then they'd take them straight home to America and they'd reproduce them. And Gilbert and Sullivan didn't see any of that money. They could do whatever they wanted with it. So they thought, right, we're going to get on this and we're going to go over to America first. We're going to do it on Broadway and then do it at
home.
And
then bring it home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The interesting thing about that is in America, you can copyright something. Yeah. In England at the time, you couldn't.
That's right.
So as soon as you put something on in England, people would go and see it and they would put almost the exact same thing on elsewhere, and so you lose most of your audience. In America, it took a lot longer for someone to see it in America, go back to England and stage it there.
Yeah.
So releasing it in America was making most of the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, making the most of their money. Yeah. And so when they did take it over, they were coming off the success of HMS Pinafore, which was doing really, really well. And they took a show over.
Really
yeah, it really did. They went over to Broadway and they were doing Pinafore at the time. And Sullivan was still writing the music. And then he finished it and went, right, we're just going to get on and we're going to do it. And he handed the guys who were doing Pinafore the music. And 2 days later, they had one rehearsal and launched a matinee before they actually put
Good
the show
Lord.
On.
Good Lord.
It's like a 24-hour musical project.
Yeah.
Gilbert Sullivan stole my idea.
Did they do that? I feel like they did that a lot. Not stole your idea, but I feel like they just went, all right, can we get on with this? All right, yeah, done. Okay, cool. Thanks. Yep.
Done. Could you imagine that now?
It's a pretty quick turnaround. All right. And they just use whatever costumes
I've just,
that
I've just
they
written
had.
This show. It's like The Wizard of Oz, but from the other side. We'll name it later. Just we're putting it on tomorrow. Okay? Good. Yeah.
Wicked.
Take the books home. Learn it overnight.
That's amazing. Yeah. See, it's possible, everyone. There you go. Presumably that was, you know, sort of the first draft that went up they were continued to rewrite and make changes.
But it wasn't that long after. It was only a couple of weeks after that they actually did the whole thing.
Published. Here you go.
Done.
Move on. Let's do the next
one. Yeah. And off it went. So it wasn't the first one of theirs, obviously, HMS Pinafore. This was their fifth collaboration, and it was a huge success. It just went off both in America and in the UK. And since then, there've been lots of modernized versions, as well as the original coming back. But it's been done a few times. And the one I want to mention is the Joseph Papp's version in 1981, which was a Broadway revival that starred Linda Ronstadt, Kevin Kline, Patricia
Kline.
Rutledge.
Calvin was the underwear.
Calvin, you're right.
Kevin
the underwear
was
guy.
The Kevin was the singer. Calvin Kline does the underwear.
Yeah.
Yes. It ran for 787 performances and won a Tony Award for Best Revival. So that just proves that this show is timeless, really.
And I believe
just
that was the
so
one.
So weird to think of.
That they did a disco remix medley at the end of.
Oh, they 100% did.
Yeah. That's the version that it invented, that put
I'm
that in there.
Having really bad flashbacks to me to sing that version.
Amazing. It's weird to, it's weird to think about Gilbert and Sullivan's show winning a Tony.
That's right.
Because the Tonys came along so much after. But yeah.
Yeah. And so then they adapted it into a film in 1983, which was called The Pirate Movie, again, with Kevin Kline and Angela Lansbury.
And is this, is the general consensus that that movie is a bit rubbish?
Is it?
I watched it far after I was a fan of the musical.
Okay.
My first exposure.
Forgiving of it in that?
I didn't realize there was anything to forgive because it was exactly what I expected. Yeah. My first exposure was like a VHS of the John English version that my mother went to see him.
Pretty sure everyone in Australia recognizes Gilbert and Sullivan shows from the SG Productions
in Australia, which was so
successful. 100%.
So it actually came from the Joseph Papp version, though. So in 1984 then, the Joseph Papp version actually came to Australia and premiered in Melbourne first, and that had John English, Simon Gallagher, and June Bronhill, David Atkins and Marina Pryor.
Right. So at which point?
That's where it started. And it actually opened QPAC in Brisbane in 1985.
It opened QPAC.
It was
the first thing on at QPAC.
I believe so, yes.
Queensland?
Yeah.
Here is a performing arts centre. We give you Pirates of Penzance.
Good choice.
And then Simon Gallagher adapted it again. So what we see on the video in 1994 is different to the Joseph Papp version.
Yeah.
Slightly. But it was built on that, yes.
And that's where all of those extra ad-libs and stuff come in. And there's a lot of extra famous lines that John English created.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that that's what Gilbert and Sullivan did anyway. They were talking about, you know, modern relevant stuff. So when they added this kind of stuff in, you know, John English would add bits and pieces in, he was adding, you know, contemporary stuff that was relevant to us.
Yes.
You know, things that we would recognize.
Yeah, but there was room in there.
That's
put
right.
there by Gilbert
that,
and Sullivan.
Yeah. And I think that's what Gilbert and Sullivan also did in their time.
Yes.
They put in the modern stuff and changed lyrics and stuff sometimes to suit what was happening.
But also the tradition of the encore.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so many encore.
The mega mix, I think they called it.
There's a mega mix at the end of every SG production, right?
No.
No? The Mikado has one, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, in the SG ones. Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
And it has...
No, like, I don't mean in the original Gilman Sullivan. I mean.
No, it has like a whole other version of the Mikado. Hot Mikado.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's its own mega mix.
We've just mega mixed the whole show into a new show. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for telling us all that amazing, cool stuff.
Yeah, have I convinced you yet? Have I convinced you?
We haven't really talked about the show yet. I don't dislike it.
Let's put just that say, out there. It's one that's lasted the ages.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, how about you help me?
1879.
1879. Yeah, okay. Look, it's doing well. I'm not going to deny it. Let's talk about what happens. Okie dokie. So let's talk about the plot of Pirates and Penzance.
Plot me.
I will plot you so hard, Julie.
Wow. Okay. Let's keep it. She's just PG.
Gonna, what? Yes.
She's going to give me the plot.
I'm going to give it to her. Okay. So the most important character in the show is Frederick.
The Major General.
No.
The Major General's definitely the most important character.
No. He's not. King.
He's the character you enjoy the
He's
most.
Not. He's not. So most of the plot revolves around Frederick, who is a young man who was accidentally apprenticed by his hard-of-hearing nursemaid to a band of pirates instead of to a pilot.
Whoops.
I don't even know how this premise works because pilot and pirate don't sound that much alike.
Well, a nautical pilot... Or a pirate. And if you have a speech impediment.
A pilot. It's still got an L in it.
Okay. No. If you're meant to say pirate, if he meant pirate, but mispronounced his R as an L.
Oh, my God. That is racist.
He's British.
Okay. You're British. Okay. Oh, no. Things are getting
partially.
Weird. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, I just got off a plane. I'm very confused. So... Frederick is apprenticed to pirates until his 21st birthday. That's very important later on, so keep that in your mind. So Frederick, his nursemaid went with him to join the pirates to look after him.
Because she was guilty. Boy,
because she felt very guilty about this whole thing about mixing up the pilot-pirate business. In the meantime, also important later on, she basically is the only woman that he has ever seen or met.
She is
the only woman, and she convinces him that she is a beautiful maiden, and you know that basically they're destined to be together, which is kind of weird, but she's actually quite an elderly woman. So anyway, Frederick, 21 years after his birth, believes that his apprenticeship is up. And on this day that he's going to leave the pirates, he admits that he feels such a sense of duty.
He's going to have to kill them all.
He's actually going to have to devote himself to exterminating
them. Oh, no.
Key word there, duty.
Duty. That is a Gilbert and Sullivan theme. Through and through many shows.
Wasn't the like subtitle one. Of Pirates of Penzance the slave of duty?
Of duty, yeah. Yes, yes.
Duty.
So he also feels a loyalty to the pirates. So before he goes, he tells them, look, you're not very successful pirates. Sorry.
See how it happens?
There it is. See what I've done now. Oh, gosh. I apologize.
You're lucky
Ruth.
You're not apprenticing any of us anytime soon.
I misspoke. I'm sorry. So he tells the pirates, you're not very good pirates because you're too nice to everybody. You won't capture and pillage orphans. And so everyone just tells you that they're an orphan.
And you believe them.
We should try that, by the way.
Stop doing that. And you'll do better. All right. I'm probably going to come back and kill you. Bye.
Yeah.
And Frederick leaves. The pirates really want him to take Ruth because they don't want to keep her. So he does take Ruth.
I feel so bad for Ruth.
Poor Ruth.
In this, because when you listen to the soundtrack, she's kind of saying that she believes she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And to hear her put down so many times, she's the lonely Helen of this story. And it breaks Helen. My heart. I'm like, you poor love.
But maybe she was.
It's creepy. Yes, it is creepy. And I think she was comely,
and now she spent so much time on a pirate ship.
On a pirate ship and at
20
sea,
years.
Salt water's not great for your complexion. And they're telling her she's like this old wench when she's 47. I'm just like, oh, love. It's okay.
Ruth is definitely my favorite character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She does get a few really good moments. And she gets her own back.
She gets her own back. Yeah.
So the pirates leave Frederick hanging out on a beach, as you want to do if you've just got off a ship.
What else are you going
to
do?
And a bunch of young ladies.
A flock.
A flock of
young ladies.
Is that the collective noun for young ladies?
I don't believe so.
Well, we'll leave that.
Well, they're on a beach.
Flutter of young ladies. You know,
a flock of seagulls, yes. a flock of ladies.
They do sound like birds in some productions.
They appear, they're coming down the beach, and Frederick, not wanting to scare them, sort of hides. Also a bit weird. But when he realises that they're about to remove their stockings, he leaps out and he says, oh, don't do that. I'm here and I can see you and I'm a man. He also at this point realises, wait, that's what young beautiful ladies look like. At which point he gets a bit angry at Ruth says, Ruth, you lied to me.
You're
bye
dead
bye.
To me.
Bye-bye. Just you go back and hang out with the pirates because I don't want you. You're old.
Aww.
But mainly it was the lying thing, okay? He's like loyalty and honesty is very important to Frederick. So Frederick also warns the girls about the pirates nearby, so, you know, don't get stolen by pirates. Cue the appearance of the girl's father, the modern Major General, who also does not want the girls taken by pirates. So when the pirates arrive, the general pretends that he is an orphan.
Oh, an orphan. That's orphan. How you pronounce it.
Orphan?
Often.
Do you mean orphan or orphan?
Orphan. Frequently or only once?
Yes. Cue many jokes about the word orphan. So they are basically they all avoid the attack because the modern Major General lies to them, and that is the end of Act One.
Whew. Plot light.
What about Mabel?
Oh yeah, Mabel
totally
was one
missed out. The beautiful maiden who comes.
Mabel was one of the girls.
And
Mabel, not just one
sight.
Of the girls, but yes, love at first sight. She comes down the mountain. Frederick sees her, falls instantly in love. In fact, he's saying,
well, see,
isn't
so
there anybody
plausible,
here?
If
there's one thing that grinds my gears, it's love at first sight.
But he's actually saying, is there any of you ladies who are going to love me? And they're all like, oh, no, no, no. And then this one comes down the mountain and says, I will.
Oh,
and he goes,
go.
Great. Great. I'll take it.
Great. I guess we're soulmates now.
And then
it's not love at first sight so much as love at first accepting
pretty much
my
convenience.
Offer.
Love at first convenience.
Love at first
convenience. Exactly.
They are quite devoted to each other for the rest of the show.
Exactly.
So I guess it'll all work out.
But we don't know what happened after it.
Awkward. So in Act 2... we are with the general and his daughters. He's feeling a bit tortured by the fact that he lied to the pirates. And the girls try and make him feel a bit better about that. I'm pretty sure that works.
What a redundant emotion. I lied to criminals.
Oh, no. I shouldn't have done that. Perhaps he feels a sense of duty, loyalty and stuff too.
Slave
the police.
To duty.
The police who are being led by Frederick to go and arrest the pirates at this point, they arrive. The girls fawn over them and tell them how brave they are about running into danger, and the police are all going, there's danger involved? Sorry, pardon, what?
I didn't sign up for danger.
Oh,
I get yet another, I think, social or political sort of, thing that they're saying here is that, you know, police are supposed to be really tough and these ones are like really,
They're regularly played as like Keystone Cops.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's not a lot of... Not a lot of bravery going on there. So Frederick then is left alone momentarily and comes across Ruth and the Pirate King, who he has sworn to destroy. Mm. That's the plan, the current plan. But Ruth and the Pirate King have figured out that, in fact, his apprenticeship was until his 21st birthday. But he was born on the 29th of February. On a
loophole.
Leap year.
Yes, queen.
So, in fact, he's only had 5 birthdays in his 21 years. So he's got quite a few years of his apprenticeship left.
Oh, no.
He is convinced by this logic and rejoins the pirates. So now he's...
A slave to duty.
Gang duty.
He's had to flip sides, which becomes tragic. And then I ran out of paper, so I have no more notes.
So that's when...
I don't know what happened. It's a mystery.
Well, no, so that's when the pirates... sneak onto the Major General's.
So he goes back and he joins the...
Yeah.
Frederick joins the pirates. Okay, well, we're going to go after the Major General and take the girls as my...
We have to go take revenge on the General because he lied.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because...
So Frederick reveals that the General lied. He's not really an orphan. The pirates get all like, oh, we must remember, and go grab the girls, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then, so the Major General is, he's kind of sleepless with guilt at lying.
Yes.
And then the girls come and they comfort him, and then the pirates leap upon them because that's what they're after. They're after the girls. And so Sergeant has one stratagem left. He demands the pirate yield in Queen Victoria's name. So,
and calls the police.
And calls
to
the police.
Come and have
well,
a
Well, yeah, sorry. He calls the police. Yes. The police come. Police come. And they lose the fight, but they say, yield in Queen Victoria's name. And because the pirates are, plot twist, British gentlemen, of course they do just that.
Very gentlemanly pirate.
Yeah, so they're... And so the Major General is impressed, forgives them all. Frederick and Mabel are reunited, and Major General marries all his daughters to the noble pirates.
Oh,
oh.
So I thought you were going to say marries all his daughters.
So many daughters. Why did he have so many daughters and no sons?
Mormon.
What?
With purely female genes.
I don't think that's how Mormonism works.
I don't think they can control it.
There was another little bit in there when Frederick went back to the pirates. He had a moment with Mabel where Mabel said, I'll wait for you.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. Because how old? They'd be 80.
80s, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And she says, I'll wait.
She wouldn't have.
She did.
She wouldn't have.
I believe her. No, I reckon she would have gone for the Pirate King. I reckon she'd be like, oh, hey.
I think she would have gone for, like, any one of those police dudes or, you know.
No, they're wusses.
She would not wait until she was 80 for some guy she saw for one day on a
beach. No, for she too was a slave to duty.
Absolutely. That was her duty. Yeah, she's
this is
made
the 1880s.
Herself a duty.
Things happened differently back then.
Yeah, there was a lot of duty involved or a lot of duty, whichever you prefer. Anyway, so that's it's a fairly classic Gilbert and Sullivan-esque, not particularly complicated, but a bit of back and forth and confusion and mistaken
bit
bits
farcical.
And pieces.
Yeah.
Bit of a plot twist at the end there.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah.
Real convenient, if you think about it.
There's a lot of that.
Always
happens.
Convenient plot twists.
And I do feel like there's always just the perfect number of men and women at the end that everyone gets married.
Yes.
Which is classic musical
theater.
Even
if you need to add a few more daughters on stage at the end because there's a lot of pirates.
There is. So that's the plot. Do we want to talk about maybe the music that's like all in between the little bits of the plot?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who's going to do it?
I think you want me to say yes.
Who's going
to
do it?
I'll do it.
Okay. Okay, let's talk music, Julie.
Songs. There are many, many and much, an excessive amount of songs.
Well, it's, is it all sung through?
No.
No.
God. No, but there are songs. And
the argument I had the other
day. I'm going to say it wrong. Recitative.
No, there is no recitative. There's barely any recitative.
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 I'm going to get it right one day.
You could, I guess you could say it's like minuscule if there is, because you could perhaps count that like that for shame, for shame.
It's more like before it's the more songs. Like when you get into the sort of 20s and 30s musicals and they had a verse before the 32 bar song format.
Yeah.
It's I wouldn't sort call of it recit, more like though. That.
I you think, can just I say recit they, if they, that makes it easy for you, Miranda.
Recit.
I think they do, though. I mean, they're not as long as what you're saying, but
then yeah, I
you know, they do
not,
have that spoken
just not
song
structured the way they should be.
Well, they're notated, whereas recitative isn't.
They're highly notated. You have to sing it that way. This, which is the argument I had the other day, that I actually think Pirates of Penzance is not an operetta or an opera; it's a musical. Because there's no underscoring underneath the parts that they do talk. It's not sung through. And then when they are talking, there's no underscoring. So, musical.
Jeez.
Put it out there.
I think it's a musical by the definitions we use now, but it was an operetta when it was written.
Time.
It was just not an operetta necessarily in the
Why
same
can't
form.
Everyone just use the terminology that we use now? Obviously, we've got it right.
Maybe they were the beginning of musicals.
Well, this is what Lorraine was saying earlier.
Yeah. It's the beginning.
It is.
But they didn't start calling it music theatre until much, much, much
like,
later.
Again, 1920s?
About the 20s.
Yeah. So they have a hefty overture which contain. Let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the songs from the actual show.
And not many of them are like the big songs that we now think of as pirates.
Apart from Cat Like Tread, and Climbing Over Rocky Mountains, but probably the only two in the overture that you're like, hey, this is pirates. Luckily, it starts with Cat Like Tread, so you kind of in the overture.
Does. The show doesn't.
No, no, no. In the overture, you're like, hey, I know that song. So Act One starts with Poor Oh Poor the Pirate Sherry. Then we go to When Frederick Was a Little Lad, sung by Ruth. Oh, Better Far to Live and Die, which is Pirate King in the
That's
Chorus.
That's a good song. That's a fun song to sing.
Oh, False One, You Have Deceived Me, which is Frederick to
False
Ruth,
One, You Have Deceived Me.
Which is Frederick
no,
just being a
I forget that now.
Dick.
Oh, that was pretty close.
You have deceived me. I don't know.
We did that once in a show.
We did.
We rewrote it all, though, so it doesn't. It's different.
Those words were the same.
And we have Climbing Over Rocky Mountains.
All the
fun.
Girls.
Ladies.
Wait, have we missed I Am the Pirate King?
No, Better Father
Live
and
Die.
Oh, right. So you didn't call it by what I know it as.
Well,
I don't know why I've suddenly
called
got
it by what it's titled.
that's a Gilbert and Sullivan thing, not a Julie thing.
So basically the titles of the songs are pretty much the first line.
They're listed.
The first lyric.
They're listed as
Which
the
is
first
also
lyric.
An operatic tradition, just putting that out there.
Just look at what she's throwing out here, guys. Stop Ladies Pray, which is Edith, Kate, Frederick and the Chorus Girls.
Who's Edith?
One of the
daughters.
The sisters. The daughters.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Miscellaneous daughter number 4.
Probably like the lead of the ladies because there were quite a few.
It is weird having them listed like this because it says then the next song is, Oh, Is There Not One Maiden Breast? Lol. Boobs. Oh, man. Which is Frederick and the Chorus. Then you have the classic Poor Wandering One, which is Mabel and Chorus.
That's the Pirate King, Cat Like Tread, and Poor Wandering One are probably the best.
The most well known.
Oh, no. The Modern Major General song.
Oh,
is,
yeah.
And it's
absolutely.
Parodied all the time.
Yes.
It's probably.
But also Climbing Over Rocky Mountains.
I don't think about it as a song for singing because it's Hatter. But yes.
Yeah. What Ought We Do?
I don't know.
Is what the daughters? Do? Yes. How beautifully blue the sky, Mabel, Frederick, and the chorus.
Ugh.
I know, right? There is a lot of songs in this musical that when I hear them, I'm like, ugh.
Oh, really? I really love that song. It's cute.
Oh, I didn't mind that song, but it's like it is just kind of like
matchmaker kind of song.
Because I did re-listen to the soundtrack yesterday, there is a lot of them that I'm like, oh, skip, oh, skip, oh, skip. Oh, man, skip. And I think it is just because it's all the songs are just basic chat amongst the characters. It makes sense. It's how we're furthering the plot. Like, yeah. It's the way the musical set up. But shush. Stay, we must not lose our senses. Okay, this has a really long pseudo title. Stay, we must not lose our senses. Here's a first-rate opportunity to get married with impunity.
Wow.
What would that song actually be? Can you think of a shorter title for that?
No, Stay. I think that's pretty succinct.
Which is Frederick and the Chorus again. Hold Monsters, which is Mabel, Major General Samuel and the Chorus. And then just before the finale of Act One, we have I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General.
He has information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
He does.
That is so much information.
In one meal? Is that a meal? Information.
Vegetable, animal, and mineral? Yeah. Mm. So, yes.
It's like the information is a recipe and the rest is what you're making from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably not intended.
What about Act Two, Julie?
Well, we haven't finished Act One because in true Gilbert and Sullivan style, the finale of Act, or of any of their acts, is like, here, take a bunch of songs. It's going to take about 15 minutes. Sit tight.
You chuck in a little bit of opera in there because they do a nice little opera.
They do. So the finale of Act 1 is pretty much everyone, and the songs in there are O Men of Dark and Dismal Fate, I'm Telling a Terrible Story, Hail Poetry. Oh, I know Hail Poetry too.
Yeah.
Oh, Happy Day with Joyous Glee. That's suspiciously like a song in the Mikado, that title. Anyway, and Pray Observe the I can't say the word. Magnanimity. Is that a word?
Magnanimity.
Magnanimity. It's like I'm learning to
recitative.
Talk.
Recitative. Recitative.
Which is a reprise of Here's a First-Rate Opportunity. So then you're done. You're done. You can go interval, do a wee.
Have a drink.
Potentially buy a drumstick, then pop back on in. Settle in for Act Two. Is just as long.
It's not really that long.
Yeah, it goes
like
quick.
Some of the songs are very short.
Some of the songs are very short and there is very little spoken word in it. But there is spoken word in it. But there's very little spoken word in it.
We get the point, Julie.
Do you, Miranda? Do you come over there and make the point?
I think the point you're making is it's not an opera.
Wait, is that what you... Because I thought you were arguing for opera.
I will fight you both. Act Two. Starts off with O'Dry, the Glistening Tear, which is Mabel in the chorus.
So the tear.
Tear.
Oh, tear. Got it?
Tear. which is a song I really detest. And then we go to Then Frederick Let Your Escort Lionhearted. The what?
I feel like that was a bunch of words that didn't make a sentence.
That I'm sorry,
then
but that's the sentence.
Frederick Let Your Escort Lionhearted, which is the Major General telling Frederick to be brave when he's leading the police.
Oh, yeah, I do like that song, okay. But still.
You've translated it. It's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
When the foreman bears his steel.
Ladies, please. This is a family show.
Who sings that?
Mabel and Edith and the sergeant and the chorus of policemen and girls.
Okay.
But what comes straight after it is Now for the Pirate's Lair, which is Frederick, Ruth, and the King.
But
I don't think it is saucy. Let's move on.
They make great titles. Anyway, what are we up to? 19. When you had left our pirate fold.
This is a paradox song.
Which is exactly
paradox most trio. Amusing paradox. Is that paradox anywhere near right?
Yeah. The most amusing paradox.
So that's when they're talking about the whole leap year business and like, oh, whoopsie, you're but actually you're actually still a pirate. Yes. Oh,
Frederick and the King doing it. Then we have Away, Away, My Heart's on Fire. You would probably want to get pretty far away if someone's heart was on like fire. All is prepared, your gallant crew await you, Mabel and Frederick. And then Stay, Frederick, Stay.
That's Mabel. Is it?
And Frederick. It's a duet.
You're going to be like, oh, wow.
Frederick, stay. If you must arrive, you're leaving fine. Be like that. Tacos.
That's fine. Just be like that. I will wait for you until, like, we're both 80.
Yes.
Ugh.
I know, it's hard.
Anyway, she wouldn't have done it.
She would have waited. It was her duty. God, stupid.
She would have waited.
She would have waited.
Anyway, No, I'll Be Brave is a reprise of When the Foreman Bears His Steel, which then has, okay, so that in terms of the running order is song number 23. Then there is a 23A called Sergeant Approach. Don't know what's going on there. Mabel, Sergeant of Police, and the Chorus Girls. 24. Man alive, this has 28 songs, kids.
We're almost there.
Yeah, but number 28 has 6 songs within it.
Well, say them quickly.
24, When a Felon's Not Engaged with His Employment.
It's a very funny song.
Yes. Yeah. Sergeant so
that's
and
all, that's
Chorus
all the cops.
Police. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
25, A Rollicking Band of Pirates We.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
That's the song they sing that scares all the police away because they announce that they're pirates and that's all it takes.
26 with Cat Like Tread.
This quite is the well one.
Known. Very well known.
Encore after
encore. Encore. Give us a little Cat Like Tread.
Sorry?
We haven't heard Lorraine sing yet.
With Go.
She looks... You look so guilty.
I didn't know it was a prerequisite that you had to sing when you came on this show.
Usually it
is. Apparently this one
right.
is.
Right. Well, the audience asks for it.
Or does it?
With.
No, not doing it.
Aww. It was such a beautiful build up. I wanted to hear it. Is the next word cat like Trev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's hyphenated.
Yeah.
Cat, like thread. Anyway.
Come on. We're two away. We're two away from it.
27, Hush, Hush, Not a Word. And then you get to the finale, which again is a cluster. Sighing Softly to the River, Now What Is This and What Is That? You/We Triumphant Now, Away With Them and Place Them at the Bar, and Poor Wandering Ones, plural. Then right. You know what? You're done. You can go home.
Unless
sleep it
they
off.
They do the
there's
broad
a mega mix.
Mega mix.
which we see it all again.
You don't.
Well, I don't know. I like it.
I think it is.
It was fun. In the theatre, I like it.
Yes.
Listening to it on the recording, unnecessary chop chop. But in the theatre.
In the theatre.
Yeah.
Fickle.
It's like bows on steroids.
Then when they did the revival, like in 2001 with SG, they actually did like extended Megamix because they did a bit of a...
They did a bit of... The whole show again. That's what it felt like. Just the music now. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Well, unless you want to talk more about the Megamix, we should probably move on.
Let's just move on.
I wonder who sings the Megamix.
Ooh,
let's find out. Okay. So I don't think it's on the wiki, but does anybody know who the original cast was?
Yeah, no, it is on the wiki. The wiki goes back to 1879.
They hadn't invented the internet yet.
No, but books and things.
Books. Oh, I've forgotten about books.
I will let you know that five of the cast members have their own Wikipedia pages. So Wikipedia is like,
just,
you know,
they're so up on what was happening in 18, what was it, 1879?
They were famous and they were part of a troupe, you know, that did lots of Gilbert and Sullivan, I believe.
So there are the, yeah. And that's,
so
that's
it was pretty much the same as the HMS Pinafore cast, right?
Yes, so that's the painting one.
Yes.
The New York one is also very well documented, but there was one role in the painting one that did make it to New York, someone called James. Don't know what he did.
Suck it.
Just not there anymore.
Wow. Thanks,
maybe
James.
He could have died. Just putting it out there. Maybe he died.
No, the character. Sure. The character's not there anymore.
Maybe the character died.
Okay. That's a little dark for Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sorry, that's the character's name, James?
Character name, James. Hmm. Played by John LaHaye.
Perhaps he was one of the miscellaneous pirates.
Yeah. So the wiki has just so many people. Like, it has from 1879 to 1981.
All right, how about you give us the highlights?
Actually, what I want you to guess, because you haven't read the wiki, is what character you think they list first?
I also
the Pirate King.
I also haven't read the
incorrect
wiki.
No, I think it's the Modern Major General.
Correct.
Because he was actually the most famous guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy.
Richard Mansfield.
Yes.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And I think that's why he's listed first. Then comes the Pirate King. Then the next main character that appears in the show. So it's not Frederick. It's Samuel. Who's like the 2IC to the Pirate King.
Yeah.
2IC. Oh, right, okay, yes.
I love that description. Pirate King 2IC.
The second in charge.
On the resume.
And guess who's listed last?
Mabel.
Ruth.
Oh, lonely Helen. Last again.
Poor Ruth. So I'm not going to go through all of these because, again, a lot of the names we don't know because they were hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
Literally. So some of the people that we would recognize, we've spoken about already. Kevin Kline, Pirate King. Linda Rodstadt as Mabel. Rex Smith as Frederick. Angela Lansbury as Ruth, which she won the Tony for.
As well she should.
As well she should.
Yes.
George Rose as the Major General. And then we get into the Simon Gallagher Australia ones where just a whole bunch of people but some great casting is Tim Curry as the Pirate King.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, that is the the 82 Theatre Royal production had Tim Curry. He opened it as the King, but then he was replaced with other people, which I don't know the names of. Timothy Bentnick, Oliver Tobias, and Paul Nicholas.
I would pay money for that. That'd be so good.
Tim Curry is the Pirate King? Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. He could probably still do it. What do you mean would have been?
No, he's had a stroke. He can't. That he has trouble doing anything anymore.
Sorry, Tim.
That news has just been broken to me. I didn't know that.
It happened a while ago, but he is still doing voice acting, so he's still performing. But yeah, he can't really do physical stuff anymore.
Poor Tim.
Mr. Wow, we're really. Oh, sorry, guys. Of course, the Australian one, the 1984, John English as the Pirate King, Simon Gallagher as Frederick, June Bronhill as Ruth, David Atkins as the Sergeant of Police, and Marina Pryor as Mabel.
Which was really her debut, really.
Yeah.
That was Marina Pryor's, starting point.
Yeah, so again, as you said, that's the one that opened QPAC and set all the records until Phantom of the Opera came through years later.
Also Marina.
So that's a lot of people who are in this are like famous for it, like, well, Kevin Kline and Angela Lansbury. And then, well, in my head, I'm just imprinted on John English, even though I do probably prefer Kevin Kline. Mm. I still, when I think of the Pirate King, I think of John English.
I don't really know any other Pirate King other than John English.
John English and his purple pants.
Yeah.
So it was a decade or more later that they did it again.
Yes.
And they were still in the same roles.
Yes. Yes.
Like yeah, Simon they Gallagher brought everyone was still back. Playing yeah. Frederick. When it was possibly even slightly too old for
I
it.
Was to play quite 21. Young and I remember thinking that he looked a bit older than 21.
Oh, look. What are you going to do? Yeah, I think that's all we really need to talk about casting. Like, it's been done so many times.
Well, there was a more recent production that was local to Brisbane.
Local to Brisbane?
That Simon Gallagher
directed. He directed, yes. Yeah. Yes, but I was going to say the Australian Opera did it just recently too, and it had Anthony Warlow playing the Pirate King.
That's right.
And it was a little bit of a homage to Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. They did like costumes and things reflecting.
They have changed Pirate King's costume to look much more like Jack Sparrow in a couple of productions now, which is questionable.
Which is their way of updating it, modernising it for today.
It doesn't change the show. It just looks like Jack Sparrow's on stage.
Yeah. They did up some of the mannerisms and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I've got to talk about, our cast.
Do you want to talk about special effects? I mean, 1879.
There was a boat wheeled on stage.
My doodle's got a special effect in it. As apparently 11-year-old child, I thought was pretty nifty.
Yeah, there's a little bit of swinging on ropes.
John English swinging out over the audience. It's quite a signature move, I think, for the show.
Yeah, but other than that, it's almost like pantomime usually. With sets kind of...
Well, it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's,
yeah.
So there's no, like, real effects that are signature to the show.
Cool. Well, I think we're done with the show that was. Let us cast the show that could be. Okay, so who are we putting in the brand new spanking production?
MTMEIK Productions presents.
We need to stop
the Pirates of Penzance.
I would like to see. This is, screw it, I want it. I want to see Back to Sabansky as Ruth.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see Ruth played in a way that you don't want to kill yourself when you think about how sad her life is.
Oh, hang on. What? It's okay for Magda?
I think she could play it in a way that actually makes it really funny.
Oh, okay.
Whereas I think a lot of the time Ruth is played straight and it's like,
all right. Bad. I can see that.
I just don't want to feel bad about Ruth anymore.
I don't feel bad. I think when she embraces the pirateness, I think she comes back a bit, very empowered.
She's sassy when she comes back.
Like, it's not really addressed. No, does she end up with the Major General?
No.
But that they end up paired?
Someone ends up with the pirate. Yeah.
I mean.
Pardon?
Someone ends up with the Pirate King.
That must be James.
No, maybe she ends up with the Pirate King.
Because she ends up with the Pirate King. Yeah, I think my friend played her and I think they're getting
together. I don't know whether it's they get married and...
Or they just have a look.
End up paired on stage.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that sort of going on though, isn't it? Like,
I don't know. And I suddenly don't want to think about it.
Maybe just in the SG production they might have.
Maybe.
Played with that a little bit.
We'll call it a director's choice and move on to more casting. So who's playing Magda's Pirate King?
Okay. I have two options. Entirely different performers.
Zancy Weber?
No, absolutely not. I would not cast myself as a Pirate King. I'm not a good choice for Pirate King. If I was offered it, I would probably take it, but I would not cast myself as a Pirate King. My first more realistic option, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Very realistic.
Yes. Yes.
I don't see it, but...
I do.
I'll let you have
comedy and physicality.
I'm with you.
I also think he would make a great sergeant or a young John Cleese as the sergeant, but we can't. John Cleese isn't young anymore.
Turn back time.
My Pirate King will never happen, but I would love to see it. Kristen Chenoweth. I want her as the Pirate King. This tiny little powerhouse
Oh, she'd be a great Ruth, actually.
She would be a great Ruth, but I want her to be the Pirate King.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Danny DeVito is the Pirate King.
No.
He's creepy. And it would bring, like, you know how, like, the Pirate King is usually pretty charismatic and you kind of want to bang him. So I reckon Danny DeVito would bring this whole, like, oh, God. Why are you the Pirate King? Who died and made you king? Anyway.
Wow.
These are thoughts I have when you mention short people.
Okay. I honestly think Chenoweth would make a great Pirate King. And not played as a man, like as a woman who's taken the role as Pirate King. And yeah.
I was a pirate, now I'm the Pirate King?
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah. I think that would be great. Version of the character.
Yeah, I think a complete role reversal, like a, you know, females, males, males, females would be really interesting with this show.
Because then the men would have nothing to do and they'd hate it. They're like, well, suck it up.
Wow.
Women have been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my strong choices. But I think Magda... Again, Magda's Ruth against Chenoweth's Pirate King.
I wouldn't pair them together. No.
No, I don't think.
No, no, no. No, no. No, no.
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 Well, go on. Well, what are your options?
I don't.
Replace one of them.
I don't know. I'm terrible at this.
Has Rhonda's played Ruth already? Surely.
I don't think she has.
I don't know.
I'm a Googler. I feel like Rhonda Birchmore's already played, but Rhonda would be a good pick. Like not funny logical pick.
Not logical at all because she's quite fabulous.
Yes. She's quite fabulous.
I wish you see her in that role.
Make her daddy.
No.
See if she can.
You can't. Have you seen those legs?
Yeah.
No.
Cover them. Amazing. Put a frock on them.
You can't.
They can't be covered.
They can't be covered.
Anytime you try and put a hoop skirt, it kind of just like it folds just back upwards.
Every dress she puts on just develops a split to the thigh. That's just how it happens.
I would love to see a hoop skirt with a split.
What about Geoffrey Rush as Major General?
Oh, Geoffrey Rush as any
I'll
of the parts.
It.
Well, I guess as we Mabel? Did see him in a funny thing. Happened on the way to the forum, and that was a very energetic role.
Yeah.
So maybe Pirate King.
Maybe. I mean, it might kill him, but.
It might. The funny thing happened, took it out of him.
It looked like it did, yeah.
I'd really like to see Hugh Jackman as the Pirate King, only because I want him to show off his chest and, you know,
showing off chests. You know whose chest I'd like to see?
I thought, you who's can that? See it, just Google it.
He can't.
You can see a lot more than his chest if you Google
Hugh
him.
Simmons and a
Hugh Simmons, a firefighter
who looks eerily like Hugh Sheridan, but that's another story.
I wouldn't mind a bit of
Efron. Where is Efron?
I would put him as.
I feel like
I'd put him as Pirate King 2IC.
Samuel,
would you really?
Yeah. Samuel, not Frederick.
I don't know.
I think people would you'd expect. Like High School Musical Efron to be Frederick.
True.
But I think he's moved on from that.
Yeah, he's done sex comedies now.
Wow.
So now he has to be a sexy pirate.
He can't come back from that, is that what you're saying?
No,
he can't come back from
that.
All his contracts now.
He could go back to
Sweden.
Frederick doesn't take his shirt off at all.
No, that's right.
I feel like a 2IC.
Oh, well, he does. He does a little bit of a...
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, no, Frederick's fine.
You know, just a little. And then he gets embarrassed and puts it away.
Honestly, that's not right.
It's not appropriate for Zac
Efron. We need someone really innocent for that role. Really innocent.
I don't think Frederick is that innocent. He's a bit of a douchebag. Like, he's not... I don't think he's nice.
No, he's a gentleman.
He's a gentleman, but only because he's told to be a gentleman.
Yeah, no, he's a gentleman in the Victorian definition of
Because he's bound by duty. But I think, given the chance, he'd probably be a total pig. Yes.
Oh, he's slapping those daughters about. Once he gets Mabel, he's getting them all.
He's really innocent.
Don't ruin poor Frederick.
I didn't ruin him. He ruined him.
Oh, I think your imagination did it.
You did it. It was you.
Yeah. It might have been your gut of mind.
How dare the accused me of having a gut of mind?
Okay. Do we have any Mabels? Mabel and Frederick pairs?
No, Mabel's boring.
Mabel and Frederick could be literally anyone who can sing for all.
I really think Kate Miller-Heidke would do a really cute little Mabel.
I know, but
she can sort of take it back a bit with this little
with
cute
surgery,
little...
maybe.
What?
She's quite old
for Mabel. 30-foot rule.
Mabel's 17.
Yeah.
I still you got to be pretty could. Fresh for it.
Mm. I just think it'd be really cute.
I've actually seen an older Mabel. And it was, you sit there the whole time thinking, nah, you're not fooling.
Well, then
anyone.
who's sitting around the right place but has enough?
No one famous.
No.
Bindi Irwin.
Oh, no, why?
That's so horrible. She might be fine. We don't know that she can't sing a nice little light up. She's lovely.
You can't say no to Kate Miller-Heidke and yes to Bindi Irwin. That's just not allowed.
She could pop some car keys on. I wouldn't mind seeing Mabel in car keys with a crocodile. Oh,
I think I just died.
Who's going to edit this episode? What about Strawberry Kisses? Is Nikki Webster too old now?
If I'm saying... Kate Miller-Heidke is too old. Nikki Webster's too old. Nikki Webster's mid-30s-ish.
Surely not. I'm in my mid-30s.
She was 12 in 2000.
I wasn't.
No, she would be almost... You should be 29?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so
that's ridiculous.
Not mid-30s. I take that back.
29, you know, mid-30s. Anyway, so we'll find some fresh young faces for the youthful roles, and we'll put Geoffrey Rush and all of the others, and we'll be done. All right.
Poor Geoffrey.
Top fives. Let's move on. So top five lists that we're putting Pirates of Penzance on.
Top five GNS.
Top five pirate shows.
Top five... musicals with orphans in them.
Orphans. Oh.
Orphans?
Named orphans? So like orphans that are referred to as an orphan?
As an orphan, yes.
Because there are a lot of parentless characters.
Of course, but orphans, you know, the plot revolving around the fact that they're an orphan. Like Annie.
Oliver.
Oliver, yes.
The Pirates. Top five musicals written before 1900.
Still being
and
done today.
All top five musicals that are frequently reinvented.
I would say top five reinvented musicals. Text that was written then and has been reinterpreted for a modern audience.
It doesn't. They actually tell you I know for sure in the Mikado they tell you to update the list to relevant text.
Yeah. Mm.
Please do. Don't do it as we wrote it.
I was actually talking about revival. So the 1985 revival actually changed a lot of how the show was presented. Mm. So I think maybe top five revivals. Yeah.
Well, the Tonys thought so.
Yeah.
Tony.
Top five biggest ensembles.
Oh, yes.
So you have...
Yes.
Or you can't double pirates. Them up. All the pirates, all the cops, all the girls.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't double up the pirates and the cops because they're in the same scene together.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the ones that, you know, when you hear of these, like, ridiculous cast sizes that are floating around at the moment, they've got, like, 80, 90 cast members for something stupid. This one, if you heard they had 80 cast members, you'd be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That sucks, but yeah.
I think more modern productions often double the girls and the police.
Yes.
They use extra
use
extra girls.
Because they're nice and nimble.
Or they take out a couple of the pirates and
some of the pirates and some of the girls and create the police.
Yes.
Fun times. There's
not enough that you would maybe notice. And then they create the extras.
Top five parodied songs.
Modern Major General.
Major General.
Mm. Yeah.
So much.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. I would put it out there as maybe not like Modern Major General to be number one.
Yeah, it would be very close to number one.
Because it has been done for so long as well.
Maybe Phantom of the Opera.
Potentially.
Because that's pretty synonymous with musical theatre as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm sure there must be.
Oh, it's on lots of top fives. Again, like it's.
That's an interesting noise. Yeah.
It is.
Top five. I think, are we done with the lists?
Top five patter songs.
Oh, there's some other GNS. There's plenty of patter songs in the world.
Better than Paradox and better than Major General.
Well, I think this is definitely
at the top.
There you go. Got another one out. Take that. Making fun of my whispering sounds. I was just thinking.
I wasn't making fun. I was jesting. I would say... I don't know how to word it. Top five influential shows.
Okay.
But that's really just GNS. GNS.
Yeah.
Yes.
GNS, one of the top five musical pairings.
I think that's one of the top five GNS, right?
Yes.
That was my first one. Yes. Got in before anyone else.
Yeah.
I got all the credit.
Bam.
Constantly tune out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what GNS taught us about pirates and orphans and duty. What has Pirates of Penzance taught us?
Do not leave your child in the care of a woman who can't hear. Because she might make a really epic mistake.
Or maybe we could translate that into just take an active interest in your own child rather than trusting the servants to raise them.
Or write it down.
I did not get this lesson, but I like it.
What did you learn, Julie?
Me? I learnt a couple of things. Oh, I learnt that... perhaps obeying or following your duty isn't the best way to live. Like sometimes,
maybe you can think for yourself.
Yeah, maybe just put a pair of big boy pants on and quit the pirate game.
Yeah, maybe. Or stay in the pirate game because it seems pretty awesome.
They seem happy for being such failures as pirates.
Well, I think that's what makes them happy because they're not terrible people. Pirates are supposed to be.
And I guess they're just living off their inherited fortunes so they don't need to pillage.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Gilbert and Sullivan were kind of saying that, it goes back to, you know, satire, that they were saying that it was a living piracy. You know, it was a bit... unheard of
choice.
That piracy was a career choice.
It was a legitimate career path. Yeah.
And that wouldn't be the case.
Is it still? It's not? I can't be a pirate?
No.
You can be.
You can dress up like Captain John Sparrow. I mean, you can just buy that. It's
John Sparrow? Is it his brother?
Oh, Jack. we'll edit that out.
Just go to Sudan.
You're
going to kill a few people. Sudanese pirates, everything.
Yeah. I don't know if
Yeah, but they're not as fun.
I feel like...
No. I don't think they sing and dance.
There are some ships in international waters, right, that have some pirates on
them. I just don't know if I can, like, kick ass enough to survive in Sudan as a pirate.
Just take your tap shoes.
I feel like as soon as I got there...
I don't think tap shoes are going to help. Yeah, I'd go with the duty lesson in the sense of, you know... you can be guided by duty, but you really have to rely on your own personal morality to make some decisions for yourself.
But what
maybe
if
maybe
what
apply if, a bit of context.
Well, yeah, what if your decisions are just to follow your duty?
Like, well, you can make that decision, but make it because you believe it's the right thing to do, not just because somebody
it should be
sold you to pirates.
Your duty, not a general duty.
Yeah.
It's not a general guideline.
Don't wait for a man for 80 years. That's not going to work out for you. I didn't learn that specifically from the show, just that's some advice I can provide to anybody who might be watching.
Maybe also don't proposition the child that you raised.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, but it's definitely a big plot point. In there's a couple of songs about it.
Don't let your vanity kind of take over and oversell yourself. Don't
oversell yourself, because when someone finds out that you're actually an old crabby woman,
maybe this is a lesson we can apply to Tinder. Like, don't oversell yourself, because when they meet you in person, they may think you're an ugly sea wench.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, you could put on Tinder, oh, is there not one maiden breast?
I don't want the people that's going to attract, because it's either going to attract people that are real nerdy about Gilbert and Sullivan, or people that are like, boobs, I'm in. Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like you've won either way.
Yeah.
I think we've learnt that, and musical theatre has learnt. Maybe name songs after the recognisable part of the song, not necessarily just the first line.
maybe they are names. I just found a wrong list.
Maybe we've also learned that good musical theatre lasts the test of time.
Even when it's not technically musical theatre. Because it's operetta.
Well, the revival is musical theatre.
That is it. Get Out.
The original was an operetta. It was written as an operetta.
Gilbert
Sullivan. Operettas. That's what we do.
But the revival is musical theatre.
There were a lot of arms with that. I feel like I need to portray that to the audience.
So it's approaching 150 years old.
Oh my gosh. That is so old. That's almost as old as Ruth.
Actually, no. It's 150.
Use a calculator. It's the only way.
I'm not going to use a calculator.
Okay. All right. Lessons I've learned. Zane doesn't need no calculator. You're doing it on your computer now, aren't you?
No.
You're calculating it.
I'm not calculating it. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now to see what else I've learned.
Oh.
Dear Wikipedia,
that's cheap.
What have I learned?
Can you stop writing letters? I'm right here.
Well, please. Take some dictation.
We've gone back to the 1800s now.
I think we need to learn some lessons about our woman's place in the podcast and the glass ceiling.
She's the secretary.
And
you're presenting.
And move on from the lessons. So that's it. We've spoken about the Pirates of Penzance, the original pirates, the best pirates.
I'm kind of sad it's over. We won't get to do it again.
Well,
I was looking forward to this one. I'm glad
you enjoyed it. We can do some more GNS. Anyone wants to hear about the Mikado, just let us know. Lorraine will come back.
I'd be keen.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll do the Mikado.
Pirates is my favourite, though.
Yes. I'll fight you with the Mikado, though.
Don't worry. Why will you fight me?
Because I'm really in the mood for fighting someone right now.
Well, before Julie fights anyone, we better wrap this up. So thank you, Lorraine, for coming in and sharing GNS with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
This was fun.
So when you're not just reenacting Gilbert and Sullivan musicals in your living room.
Which I do, actually do.
Who doesn't?
I know. Well,
that's why I had this mom. Rope installed.
Swing out from the balcony.
I was wondering what that rope was for.
Of course you were wondering.
I was just very concerned.
Anyway, back to Lorraine. You actually do like some cool arty stuff. Yeah.
For theatre people. We do. We do. So we have a photography business called CF Photography, and we do headshots for actors or musicians or singers. We also do live theatre photography. So if you've got a show coming up and you need someone to come and take some photos of your show, do your cast photos, anything like that, you know, look us up.
Sweet. Well, you won't need to look far. We'll put all the links in the show notes.
Yeah, we will.
So, yeah. And
I can personally recommend, because you guys do all of our photography 24-hour musical.
Yes, we do. We certainly do. And we have done your headshot too.
Oh, yes.
Yes, your current headshot is a
CF Photography CF special. Photography.
Also, I believe my current Facebook profile picture is a CF Photography
Julie.
Photo.
Dragging the chain.
I'm sure there's some Cinderella photos of it.
Oh, there is. Yeah, there is. Hours.
We've all been done it's by true. Lorraine.
Yes, it's true.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking. If anybody would like to help us be more and better and do more episodes and
have more candy for Julie.
Yeah, more candy for Julie.
Probably less candy for Julie. She's a bit...
Maybe we'll start going with savories. You can check us out on our Patreon at patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know. That is the entire title. And if you go there and pledge to us one measly dollar a month.
Just a dollar, sir.
Or more.
Or more. I mean, you could totally
you get
do more
if you pledge more.
Oh, do you?
You do.
Oh, ooh. My goodness. There's levels.
Well, you can have access to some of our test episodes. And yes, we did do Cats.
Controversially. So
if you want to listen to what's actually a pretty interesting episode about
it
Cats,
is.
It
I
turned like out being. There's another show in there. There's Julie's doodles, her drawings, her sketches that she does during every episode. And we've got some other special stuff coming your way just for our Patreons, because we love them so much.
Well, they give back.
They do.
We appreciate people who subscribe.
Yes.
But also people who give us money are like extra special.
Yeah. And so we are going to record a few extra bits for them to listen to. Us talking about some other stuff and shows and things and stuff and stuff. So if you want to do that, head on to Patreon. If you want to check us out on the web, our home on the web is at thatsnotcanonproductions.com/MTMEIK, and you can check out all of our associated podcasts there as well. Find us on Facebook at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, our Twitter handle at Musicals Teach Me. That one is different to all the others. And if you have something you would like to send to Julie and all the rest of us, musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes and subscribe if you haven't done that already. And we'd love for you to leave us a star rating and a
five
review.
Five-star rating is super important.
Don't bully them.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said faster. I was like, I said all that pretty quickly.
No, you're doing a great job. I'm looking at Lorraine over there on her phone, and I think she's giving us a rating.
I'm not actually. I'm doing the Patreon. I'm giving you some money.
She wants the Cats episode.
I really do. You've really sold it to me, and I want to see these doodles or drawings.
Yeah, don't get too excited about them.
So I'm very excited. And do you know what? It's really, really easy. I've just done it right here while I've been sitting here. I've just done click, 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 and I'm
and
through,
done.
And I've paid.
PayPal'd it.
And I'm done. And
that's how easy it is.
Well, yay. Thanks.
We do thank you. Thank you, Lorraine. Round of applause for
Lorraine. Yay. If you want your own round of applause, just give us some money.
Yeah, it's easy.
It's all it takes.
We're actors.
We can give shout-outs to everyone that is currently a Patreon right now. Won't take long to clap them.
We can. They have asked that we don't, though.
It's a secret list. So join our secret list. Join us next week, because we're going to talk with Matthew Hannibal Butler. It's a weird name.
About Man of La Mancha.
Oh, the Man of La Mancha. Aye, Don Quixote. I'm not. I'm
dream
Miranda Selwood.
Dream the impossible dream.
You've spoiled it. You've given away the big song. What will we talk about? Check us out next week. You'll find out. My name is Miranda Selwood.
I've been Zane C. Weber.
Julie Eisentrager.
And thank you one more time to our special guest, Laureen Cooper Fox.
Yay!
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.